You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I also want your request for declassification of the approval that you release that information that China believed so, including your request for declassification of your conversation that you had with General Lee and any approvals. I want a transcript of your call with General Lee, and I also want any readouts, memorandums, notice of calls, or outcomes. Now, you chose to talk to reporters instead of us, and that's great. That's of great concern. No one in Congress knew that one of two of the major nuclear powers thought that they were perhaps being threatened for attack.
Very legitimate questions from Congressman Mike Turner, Republican, Ohio, member of the House Intel Committee, September 30th, 2021. Of course, he's demanding all that information from General Martin Milley, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Milley admits he was talking to Bob Woodward while Woodward was writing his book, now titled Peril, admitted that he told Woodward about the call to China, and that China apparently was concerned that Donald Trump, in his closing days, might launch a nuclear strike against China. And Milley said, I was calling him to tell him, don't worry about it, it's not going to happen, I'm sure it's not, but if it does, if it's going to happen, I will call you in advance. Now, Milley is saying at this point, the way the book is actually written and what it says actually in the book is not exactly how it played out. But let's put all the nuances aside for a moment. The question being raised by Congressman Mike Turner, if you're going to write a, if you're a member of the government and you're going to write a book based on some information you have to send it to be cleared before it can be published. And he wants to know, Congressman Turner, who gave you that authorization? Did you even apply to have that kind of discussion with a reporter to share the information that China might fear we were going to attack? Did you talk to anybody? Now, Milley's got a lot of excuses for a lot of things he has done. We're going to get into more of that. General Milley insisting he has had oversight. And I'm also going to tell you there's another side of this story that you're not going to like, because I'm going to give it time. And some are going to say, why are you giving that guy time on that story? I'm talking about our favorite, one of our favorites at CNN, Chris Cuomo. Because he's saying, you've got Milley in front of you. Why don't you have other members of the Trump staff, the cabinet, the members that were apparently told by Milley what he was going to be doing? Don't dismiss that question so quickly, just because it comes from Cuomo. We'll get into that. Also, we have word that we've got something like nearly 30,000 Haitian refugees, migrants at this point, I should say, making their way across or to the U.S. border. Panama says they are got more behind them, maybe another 50,000. And what are we doing about it? Well, it's hard to say. We know that Mayorkas is planning another trip down to the border. What you going to do, another look and see and then dog and pony show? Is he doing anything about it? What they are still pushing forward is to fire Border Patrol agents if they've not been vaccinated. They're going to fire them when they need them the most. Many of the Border Patrol agents that have not been vaccinated either have had COVID already or for various reasons they don't want the vaccine, and you're going to fire them. So that just reassures an open border, doesn't it? And then you might be very surprised to hear that the public opinion might be changing. According to a report in the Washington Times, a poll conducted by a D.C.-based survey finds that majority of Americans believe there are only two genders. not multiples. We'll get into that. And Congressman Crenshaw being fined because he refused to go through the metal detector going into the House. Doesn't say he has a gun or not. Pelosi had those metal detectors put up because of the January 6th event. And Congressman Crenshaw, if anybody's going to be carrying a gun in the House, I'd be glad to have him do it. Congressman Crenshaw, former Navy SEAL. Don't you think that would be a good idea if something goes bad? We've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
If there is any Border Patrol officer who gets fired or has to quit, whatever the case may be, because of the vaccine mandate imposed by the Biden administration, Texas would be honored to have them come work for us and be a Border Patrol regiment for the state of Texas. And we would appreciate the service. I have worked side by side with these Border Patrol officers for years now. I admire them. I respect them. They are courageous and they are needed. And if the Biden administration doesn't want them, by God, the state of Texas does.
By God, the state of Texas will take those Border Patrol agents. That is, of course, Governor Greg Abbott, Republican, Texas. Yes, we have Border Patrol agents that might well lose their jobs because they are not vaccinated. Now, they are encountering numerous illegals on a constant basis. The number could be, well, the number... official number is at 1.5 million already, but that really isn't including September, and we got three more months to go. So they know the risk they're taking and encountering illegals coming across from who knows where. Not just necessarily Mexico, even Central America, the Northern Triangle, North South America, but Cuba as well, and any parts in Europe, the Middle East, whatever. If they can get to Mexico, they know they can get into the States because we don't really have a border. Not the way the Biden administration is running things at this point. So these agents already know they could be exposed. So why wouldn't they want the vaccine? Well, they have their own reasons. It may be because they've already had COVID and that should give them immunity better than the shot itself. That's according to science. They say follow the science, and I remind you again, whenever the left starts saying follow the science, are they talking about medical science or political science? And we've got agents that perhaps, for religious reasons, don't want the vaccine. And maybe others just, you know, I'm fine, I'm healthy, I don't think I need it regardless. Or they just don't want it. It's their body, their right. Is that what we hear about all the pro-choice people when it comes to abortion? My body, my choice. There's a wife of a Del Rio Border Patrol agent, and she's extremely frustrated because her husband refusing to take the COVID-19 has now been noticed. He will be fired November 1 unless he changes his mind. This wife of this Border Patrol agent said, I don't think Biden is working for us. I think he has a bigger agenda. I don't think he really cares, honestly. That's her opinion. But she's certainly entitled to it. As her husband is going to lose his job because he will not just do what I say and take the shot. Oh, by the way, Senator Ted Cruz is taking a stance with some NBA players regarding the vaccine. That is a bit an interesting little twist, even Senator Cruz admits. All right, I'll go down that rabbit hole a little bit later. Back to this issue right now. Joe Biden signed a sweeping executive order just weeks ago requiring federal employees to receive the COVID-19 vaccine, allowing for only minimal exemptions. And apparently, religious exemption is just not that good enough, or the fact that I'm an American, I don't want it, not good enough. So the wife of this Border Patrol agent is saying, how can they allow all these people to come in testing positive? There she goes. And nobody even thinks twice about it. But our husbands, our wives, these people that are putting their lives on the line every day to protect us, they're the ones getting punished. She's absolutely right about that. You remember, in fact, let me help you remember. Let me take you back to the interview that Chris Wallace did with my Yorkles, the Department of Homeland Security Secretary, about testing all these illegals coming across. Do you remember the question and the answer? Well, let us refresh your memory.
Of the 30,000 Haitians who came across the border into Del Rio, how many did your department test for COVID?
So we have strict COVID testing protocols that we apply across the board. We test, isolate, and quarantine unaccompanied children. We work with nonprofit organizations to test families. Those who are in ICE custody are tested, isolated, and quarantined. Those who are expelled under the Title 42 Public Health Authority are returned immediately. They are not placed in immigration court proceedings, and those we do not test because they are returned immediately.
But your own department's Inspector General said that your testing policy and the failure to test a lot of people who end up in this country, that you rely on local or state officials and a lot of people don't get tested, has put communities in this country at risk.
We concurred with those recommendations. We made improvements.
No, they have not. They haven't made any improvements. You know, my Yarkos, I don't know what it is about this guy. The question from Wallace of, what are you doing? And he begins, what man really begins a conversation like, so I want to tell you that it's changing, it's better, and we have all these testing procedures, and he never really gives an answer. And Wallace, to his credit, said, well, you've got a lot of communities that say you're threatening and endangering them because of what you've been doing. Oh, we've addressed that. You have not. My Yarkles, in fact, just this last weekend, speaking at Georgetown University, I say this week, not this weekend, this week, according to the Daily Mail that was covering this event, in his remarks at Georgetown University, he said, and I'm quoting from the Daily Mail, we are confronted with a population of people that, as a general matter, that have a rate of illness of approximately 20%. 20%. He's admitting one out of five border crossers are sick with something. And, of course, he also admitted the other day, oh, we did not expect all those people to show up at the border. Oh, and then he also said we didn't expect the Delta variant to resurface so fast. at the border. They don't really expect anything, do they? They think they can just kind of plod along and the rest of us will follow like blind, dumb sheep, not raising any questions, because they're going to complain and shame us and say, well, you must be an anti-vaxxer. Not an anti-vaxxer. I'm just concerned about our border security. And maybe I'm concerned about my body. Can I do that in this country? You know, there's an interesting piece I'll have to get to a little bit later, too. I mean, when I put this program together, I've got so many different tentacles reaching out for pieces of information and trying to find some way to facilitate them and gather them in such a meaningful way while not ignoring something that someone else say, oh, you didn't mention that. Well, I'm sorry. I'm trying to get to all of it. Believe me. I guess we're going to have to do Larry Connors USA 24-7, Quentin. 24-7, 365. He said they're shaking. No, I don't think so. So Mayorkas also had conceded that before the Department of Homeland Security released 13,000 Haitian border crossers in Del Rio, in that area, after he just made remarks at Georgetown University that one in five are sick with something, days after that he conceded we did not test some 13,000 Haitian border crossers for the Chinese coronavirus before releasing them into the interior of the U.S. So they admit they're bringing in sick foreign nationals at the border, allowing them to come across, and some of these Afghans are bringing into the U.S. There have been serious health concerns about them, in addition to being, are they actually entitled to be here, or did we leave the ones that we should be helping in Afghanistan? But the Biden administration, the CDC, I should say, the Biden administration not really wanting to admit it, the CDC saying among the Afghans brought to the U.S., we've already seen outbreaks of measles, mumps, tuberculosis, malaria, hepatitis A, and, of course, coronavirus. So what we've got to do is, according to Joe Biden, we get 96, 97, 98% vaccinated, then we'll all go back to normal life. Otherwise, you will be fired, or you're going to have to quit your job. Oh, if you're an illegal coming in with any of this, not a big deal. The hypocrisy itself is staggering, much less the stupidity that surrounds it and pushes it forward. But they're going to try to pull off another dog and pony show and see if everyone will follow along. You know the state-controlled media will. Secretary of State Blinken, Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas, and U.S. Attorney General Garland are going to be traveling south of the border next week. They say we're going to discuss, quote, security issues with the Mexican government. There go three of Biden's cabinet members. Well, I'm looking at this list again. Did I mention VP Harris in that? No, I mentioned Blinken, Mayorkas. Nope. She's not going. She's already made a trip, remember? The first trip she made was fly right over the southern border to go down and meet with one of the countries in the Northern Triangle, one of the ones we consider less corrupt, and then fly right back over the border. And then finally she did go down to El Paso area in a very, very sanitized border facility area because she knew Trump was doing it. But now we've got these top three going for an in-person meeting with Mexico's foreign minister. And he will not admit they're even going to discuss immigration. But let me remind you again what I said a moment ago. The Panamanian foreign minister is already saying more migrants, mostly Haitians, are heading for the U.S.-Mexico border. His estimation, 60 to 80,000 are still to come. So are they going to say, I mean, this is now public knowledge. I told you, Panama has told our government. Are we then going to be surprised, or should we just accept the fact that when we hear Mayorkas say, So we didn't know that many were going to come. I just told you, damn it. And you're the Panama leader, immigration authority in Panama says they're coming. And you're still going to say, we're surprised by that. Yeah, you guys are surprised by a lot. And then they, of course, try to pass off some real stupidity of the process. But one other issue, in addition to bringing in illness, you know they're bringing in drugs. We've been saying that constantly. And up in Idaho, one sheriff says, we're finding all kinds of opiates coming in here. We've been trying to save our state from the opioid crisis, but we're having an uphill battle to stop fentanyl. The fentanyl is coming from 2,000 miles away, at least, from our southern border. And more is coming, plus child molestations. But let's go back to the know-it-all at the White House, Jen Psaki. And I'm quoting, they're not intending to stay here for a lengthy period of time. Talking about the illegals, they're not intending to stay here for a lengthy period of time. All right, before I say something, let's take a break. I'll come back and I'll tell you about Senator Cruz and the NBA and Russia. I'm honored to have First Crypto World in St. Charles on board as a sponsor. This is the first brick and mortar store where you can actually learn about cryptocurrencies. And what do you know about crypto mining? I'm confused. That's what I'm going to sign up for an education class. And you can buy crypto merchandise. FirstCryptoWorld.com. Get full details. FirstCryptoWorld.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So this is something even Ted Cruz, Senator, Republican of Texas, is admitting, I'm kind of surprised by this, but I am. He put out a tweet saying he stands with Brooklyn Nets guard Kyrie Irving, Golden State Warriors guard Andrew Wiggins, Washington Wizards guard Bradley Beal, Orlando Magic forward Jonathan Isaac. Why? And he also said, in addition to them, LeBron James, because they are all taking their own stance on getting a vaccination. LeBron James, the L.A. Lakers superstar, said, when asked, do you think you need to publicly advocate for players and others to get the vaccine? According to Yahoo Sports, LeBron James said, I think everyone has their own choice to do what they feel is right for themselves and their family. So Senator Ted Cruz said, I'm agreeing with LeBron James and these NBA superstars. He said, I stand with them. He's been mostly critical of the NBA and, of course, the stance on social justice issues and, of course, the relationship with China. But he says, on this, we're together. He said, these men decided they do not, for whatever reason, want to have a vaccine. Or if they get it, they don't want to discuss it. Or if they get it, they don't think they need to be out telling others to do it. Irving had asked reporters, respect my privacy when it comes to the vaccine. And he might not be able to play home games in Brooklyn due to New York City's mandate that before you can enter an enclosed space, you had to prove you've been vaccinated. Which brings us to also another former L.A. Lakers superstar, Shaquille O'Neal. He's saying the Brooklyn Nets should trade Irving because he won't get the vaccine. O'Neal says, I'd go upstairs and say, get him out of here, get him out. And all that Irving said, or rather, Irving said, is that I... just want my privacy when it comes to the vaccine, and so far I've refused to do it. But I don't want to discuss it anymore. YouTube the other day, yesterday, said it will ban all, quote, harmful vaccine content from its platform. If you follow Larry Connors USA Facebook, you know any time I put anything just on Facebook, not even the full YouTube page, just the Facebook, and I mention the word COVID, I can say we're going to have a story about COVID, and immediately they put up a post below it for full factual information, go to this source, as if I'm going to say something wrong. They don't even know what I'm going to say. But because I mentioned the word COVID, they've been doing that for some time. You know who's now lecturing? Who's now ready to lecture YouTube and the big tech, Facebook, Twitter, when it comes to censorship? Stand back. You don't know how big this one's going to get. This is going to be really, really big. There is a channel called a YouTube has banning an RT channel. An RT channel. Well, what is that, Larry? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's a Russian state-backed broadcaster, RT, German language channel. So, well, YouTube has said it was banning that channel because of remarks about vaccines, COVID. The Russian President Putin's press secretary said the YouTube ban on our channel broke our Russian law, broken it very brazenly. It's a case of censorship, obstructing dissemination of information by the media. Ha! There you have it. The Russians calling out YouTube for censorship. Coming up, Dakota Wood from the Heritage Foundation on General Milley's testimony. You'll want to hear his input on it because it's a very interesting.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace in Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned, Ackerman Toyota for life.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My next guest making several previous appearances with us and, of course, all over the networks on a constant basis. He's a senior research fellow for defense programs at the Heritage Foundation. 20 years in the U.S. Marines. Retired Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood. Semper Fi, sir. Welcome back.
Semper Fi, thanks. Always such a great blessing for me to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, there are several things that have been going on we want to get into, and I'd like to begin, of course. Let me give you a chance just to make your own statements about the General Milley House, the House and Senate statements. Go ahead.
Everybody said what everybody was expecting them to say. So, The some clarity that was brought out was the sequencing of events from a year ago until the present and what recommendations they made to the administration. But even in saying, you know, troop levels or recommendations that were given, even with that, it was never clearly stated in unambiguous terms how administration policies effectively boxed in the military. So when there was discussion about Bagram Air Base and whether we should have kept that or not for use, the military was saying, we decided that it wasn't tactically important. Oh, by the way, we were limited on the number of people that we were allowed to have on the ground. So with those conditions, really, well, there wasn't any other option than to give that up and go to the airfield, the civilian airport outside of Kabul. Nobody really said that very clearly.
And so then with Secretary of Defense Austin, with General Milley, General McKenzie, and then the White House, all kind of using this ambiguity to deflect blame or criticism, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does to me. I think you did a very good job of identifying it, that you're right. I mean, each of them said, we gave the word to Biden, the Biden administration, you got to maintain a force of 2,500 minimum. But Biden's response is his only answer was with George Stephanopoulos said, no one ever told me that. There's no ambiguity between what he's saying and what they're saying.
Right. And so the context is lost in these sorts of statements, and that this 2,500 magic number wasn't, hey, once the Taliban have taken over, let's keep 2,500 Americans in there to continue doing operations. That would be ridiculous. What they were saying was, if we maintain this minimal footprint, we can continue to support the Afghanistan National Army and maintain the status quo of keeping the Taliban at place, at bay, right? But if you're not going to allow that us to have that many people, then the plan has to change dramatically. And so when the Biden team came in, they said, no, we want to get out and we want to do this as quickly as possible. Then the military says, well, with that is the limitations or the box we have to work in. And if that's what you want to do is to get out of town as quickly as possible, then really we only have one option. And once that one option was implemented and executed, then the Biden White House comes back and says, oh, well, everything that they say that they need to execute the worst possible option that we told them to do, we're going to give them all those resources.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
I do. Yeah, I know exactly. I mean, I follow it.
Yeah, the administration created.
If you're only going to be able to get this, you make do with what you got right here, then you figure out a way to make it happen. But I want it to happen.
That's it. Yeah, that's exactly. And that really didn't come through in this testimony because everybody's trying to either, cover their six or make political points, or it's Republicans versus Democrats or the military establishment versus the White House or whatever that might be. So it's a bunch of Japanese kabuki theater, where everybody's operating behind a mask and the audience kind of has to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, right about that. And of course, I'm laughing, but of course we lost 11 Marines, Navy corpsman, and then we had also an Army soldier identified as one of those killed. Plus, we still have Americans stranded in Afghanistan. The main thing I keep coming back to, and I hear what you're saying, that they felt they had to have that minimum number to keep Bagram Air Force Base open.
Yeah,
to keep the country, but keep Bagram Air Force Base open. And without that, then everything else went to hell.
Yeah, it did. And it would have been more people if you're going to affect the withdrawal, right? So, again, that's the next step. If you maintain the 2,500, that would have kept the Afghan military shored up, would have kept the Taliban in check. All the things would have just continued on. And as we've discussed before, the United States hadn't lost a single person since February of 2020, right? So 18 months had gone by with no casualties and Afghanistan kind of maintaining its own, right? So that was that 2,500 number.
Yeah.
But if you're not going to do that and affect a withdrawal, then you've changed the conditions, the Taliban is on the march, and you actually have to beef up security to create a safe environment in which to evacuate all these American civilians. So Kabul, or Bagram Air Base, then became essential to doing that, and the administration just didn't want to exercise that option.
Okay, so let me move now to the testimony of General Milley and the Woodward book, where he says, yep. I was not quoted exactly right, but he's acknowledging repeatedly that, yes, I made a call to China, but it was with oversight.
Yep.
The question being raised by one congressman in the House yesterday, why the hell do you think it's so good to talk to Bob Woodward and not inform members of Congress? He said, well, if there was oversight, everybody should have known, is what he's suggesting. What's your take on that?
Yeah. Well, I think this is where the dramatic failure occurred, was in talking to Bob Woodward. If you're going to be, chairman of the Joint Chiefs, secretary of defense, director of central intelligence, any of these prominent positions, why in the world would you want to talk to a journalist or a book author, somebody who is wanting to sell copy and is going to present the most sensational sorts of materials to drive book sales, right? So why was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, sitting down and having private conversations with somebody whose explicit purpose was to write a book about it all.
Now, let me ask you a question on that.
So I think it was horrible judgment.
Let me ask you a direct question. To even do something like that, I know if you're going to write your own book or whatever, you've got to go through an approval process. One of the congressmen asked, I want to see your authorization or your request to have such a discussion to talk about particularly China fearing a nuclear attack by us.
Yeah, and I don't know the legal procedures for senior officials in government to get authorization to talk to whomever. But normally, prudence, right, discernment, good judgment, wisdom, maturity should all lead you to be very circumspect, you know, to be very cautious in having these sorts of conversations with people who are in the business of publishing things. You know, I mean, this isn't another government official. Now, in the real world, it is the case that secretaries of state and ministers of defense and economic advisors, they all talk to each other. There's this huge background conversation that's going on between countries to kind of keep a lid on things. So in that world, it was appropriate, you know, for Milley and all of his people in the room to have a conversation with somebody when the U.S. could be seen in somewhat disarray, and you don't want people taking advantage of that or, you know, starting to question what might occur. So perhaps in those circumstances, it was okay to have these kinds of conversations. But then to talk about that to an author or a journalist was ridiculous.
And without any authorization. Before we wrap up, Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller, Marine, still in the brig. I understand the lawyer says he got something like 600 pages of indictment charges against him on various Uniform Code of Military Justice violations because he went to YouTube and said, I demand accountability from our leaders. Your thoughts?
Yeah, so if you allow that to happen, then why can't the corporal or the private question the staff sergeant? Why can't the gunnery sergeant or the first sergeant question, you know, the captain or the admiral or anybody else? So there is a chain of command that goes on. You give up certain individual things that you would be able to do as a civilian that you now cannot do within the system of the military. And so for him to independently go to a social media site and talk to potentially millions of people in a disparaging way about the you know, the chain of command, it wasn't becoming in the conduct of an officer. He was asked or told not to do this anymore. He violates that. He posted a second video, I think it was on August 29th or so, from some abandoned bus in a North Carolina forest. So he was out of line doing that, and the military was correct in disciplining him in the way, and he knew that that was coming based on his own statement.
Oh, yeah, he said, I'll be ready, come pick me up. But to the general public.
Because people are ticked off on how things are happening, but he was out of line in doing what he did.
Absolutely, but speaking specifically under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, the charges you say are legitimate. I wish I'd spent more time on that. I may want to circle back with you, because there are going to be more advances on this story. But he clearly, as you said, violated Article 133, conduct unbecoming an officer and a gentleman, and some other issues as well. But we'll see how this plays out. I want to thank you, as always, Dakota, for joining us.
Great pleasure. Thank you.
All right, we'll do it again. Dakota Wood, 20 years in the U.S. Marines. Are you pointing out again that Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller, as much as we all want to pull for him and believe that in one hand that, we need some accountability, what he did, because he's in the military, crosses a line which they're going to enforce. Coming up, some remarks about Chris Cuomo. I'm going to allow Chris Cuomo to make a statement, and I'm going to follow with something that you might get upset about. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
If you want great Italian food, there's only one choice. Well, wait a minute. There are really three choices, but all of them are Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now the streets of St. Charles. Visit any of them. Visit all of them. Cafe Napoli, family owned since 1989. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment. Yeah!
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Here's your headline. The nation's top general was set up. He was the victim of a classic political hit job, and we know it. You were told by political malefactors and by media, including me, that a new book would reveal no less than the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Milley, directly contacted a hostile foreign nation, China, to calm fears about Trump. Treason, cried the righteous senators on the right.
Yeah, they did. And for the most part, what CNN and NN Chris Cuomo said is correct, to the extent that we were told that Milley had been talking to the China and said he would be calling them if we were going to launch an attack. But it's not exactly in that context as things began to unfold. But the question, or the point being raised by Chris Cuomo, that General Milley was set up. Now, I don't know who really set him up. Nobody ordered him to call and talk to Bob Woodward, because that's where the initial report came out from the new Bob Woodward book, that Milley had talked to China two different occasions. One of them being 2 days after the January 6th Capitol riot. And that supposedly is when he pledged to warn China if Trump launched an attack. Now, if he did it as was reported, yes, we've got a big issue, treason and everything else, legitimate. But Cuomo wants to say the Republicans owe Milley an apology because he was set up. Well, how the hell did they set him up? That I'm going to question. But, oh, by the way, Cuomo admits that he also was part of it because he reported the same thing at the time. And he says the idea that Milley went rogue was all a lie. Now, that's based upon testimony Milley has been giving. And we're going to spend a lot of time on it in the next hour because there are a lot of questions still about what Milley said, how he is quoted, and also authorization to have any kind of such conversation with anyone outside the chain of command. Senator Josh Hawley, Republican of Missouri, one of those who called on the general to resign. And, of course, when he had them in front of the Senate committee the other day, he grilled Milley about these media interviews, giving them for high-profile books. Cuomo's question is, why didn't Senator Hawley apologize to Milley? Well, I don't know about that, but let's look at the other question. And I was thinking this, too, the other day. Milley outlines everyone in the Trump administration he said he talked to. Cuomo, Chris Cuomo, again, wants to say this is a Republican setup. Well, they just held the House hearing yesterday. That was chaired by a Democrat. And they certainly could have called anybody they wanted. The House, controlled by Democrats. They also control the Senate. But they certainly control the House. They could have called anybody. And I have to ask, yes, after these remarks that Milley made, why the hell did they not call former Trump staffers that he named and get them under oath? Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is now on record as of last night, appearing on the Megyn Kelly Show, stating, I have no recollection of General Milley briefing me in the way he described. Milley apparently saying in the book, in calling his counterpart in China, that if we're going to attack, I'll call you ahead of time. It's not going to be a surprise. Well, Milley alluded to some of that in additional testimony, but the way he said it in testimony is not exactly the way we understand it from the book and the perception. And perception is everything in this, in addition to the facts. Pompeo did concede that Milley could have simply stated, hey, I spoke with my Chinese counterpart. He said maybe he did tell me that. It certainly did not tell Meadows, who was chief of staff. He said, I can promise you that Meadows would have called me immediately and said, hey, we got a real problem here. And if I'd heard it, it would have gone high and right. We're going to have to get in this more detail because there are other members of the Trump staff, then Defense Secretary Esper, which got named by Milley. And we really do need to hear from these guys, too, as to what Milley told them or not. Pompeo can say what he wants on Megyn Kelly. I do say that he also should be under oath and make a statement. I'm not defending Milley. I'm not trying to say anything he said was right and everything else wrong, that Cuomo is totally right. I'm not about to do that either. But I'm going to treat it down the center. I will be very fair with you on that point. So we've got to cover that in more detail coming up in the next hour. You don't want to miss it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.